Okay, invite Sherry up now. So, good morning everyone.
Hi.
In way to just get to know Sherry a little bit more, I'm going to ask her some questions, hopefully not too uncomfortable. So Sherry, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, please?
Yeah, certainly. So I am married to Pete, who works part-time for Shepherd Drive Baptist Church, which I know a number here will know quite well, because Cordell Hall Road is our sister church. You got us going and you replanted us, and we're really grateful to everyone here for that. So Pete works part-time for the church. We've got three children, Chloe, Tom and Joe. Chloe's just started high school and the boys are still in primary school. And then I work part-time for a company called Ten of Those, which is a Christian publishers and booksellers. So I'm in the publishing side of things, so I work part-time for those. Hence, I'm passionate about books, and I should be plugging books all day, and it'd be great if you wanted to come and have a look at any of the books that we've got for sale.
That's great. Are you an Ipswich girl?
I am definitely an Ipswich girl. So I was born in Ipswich Hospital back in 1982, and I was just thinking, I've moved away three times from Ipswich, but I've always come back. So yes, I'm definitely an Ipswich girl.
Lovely. What is your favourite time of year and why?
It's a hard one, because what I love, actually, I love living in this country, because I love the changing seasons. I know you don't get that in all places in the world, but I just think it's wonderful that sometimes it can be 30 degrees and other times it can be -3. But I think if I had to choose, it would probably be autumn, because I love the colours of the trees. My favourite place in all the world is Orwell Country Park. As you walk down and through the trees, the leaves changing to the Orwell River, I just think you can't beat it.
Yeah, stunning. That's so great. So kind of like an ideal day, how would you spend that?
So I definitely start it in bed with a strong coffee and a book, and I'm really easily pleased. I don't want fireworks or anything. I love a walk, I love a read. It's nice to spend time just relaxing, and perhaps coffee chop trip, a meal out, all the standard things.
So you've said coffee a few times there. Are you a coffee or tea drinker?
Coffee first thing.
I
graduate onto tea through the day, and by the end of the day I can't go to bed without a cup of green tea and lemon.
Well done.
Which is quite niche, but that's my bedtime drink.
Lovely. And are you a savory or sweet girl? Would you go for a cake or a cheese board?
The honest truth is, I went to bed thinking about this question last night, because I like both, but if I'm honest, then neither are my favourite. Oh. I'm not very sophisticated. Give me a slab of dairy milk any day, and that's where it's at.
Very good. That's super. Thank you. It's lovely to get to know you more. What I'll do is we'll pray for you before you begin. Is that okay?
Yeah. Super.
Father, thank you for Sherry. Thank you for each other. Lord, we just ask now that you speak through her, that you will calm her, help her, and guide her and guide us. We thank you for this opportunity for her to speak to us today in this way. We praise your name for it. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Great. So if it's helpful, I do have some notes that you can kind of follow along and take notes if that's your thing. Don't worry if it's not. If you just prefer to listen, it's no problem at all, but they're there if you need them. My dad used to be a great one for talking a problem through with. I remember sitting at the kitchen table, and my dad would look at an issue from every angle known to man, and then he would come up with what he and my mum called a battle plan, a practical way forward through whatever I was struggling with. And in the next 30 minutes, my hope is that we can come together and get a battle plan for those awful times that I'm sure we've all experienced, when we lie awake in the middle of the night worrying. some of us will be more prone to worrying than others, but I'm sure we all struggle with it from time to time. Most of us probably struggle with it quite a bit. I mean, I'm not a massive worrier, but there have been times when I have been almost consumed by a particular worry. That sick feeling, that tension. I don't know about you, but the way your mind just keeps circling around an issue and you try and get it from your mind, and then like a particularly devoted boomerang, you know, just 2 minutes later it's back, it swings back around. We toss and we turn in bed, and perhaps in desperation we get up, we make a cup of tea, we get back to bed, and we think the same thoughts again, again and again. I don't know what things keep you awake at night, but there are plenty of options, aren't there? There are plenty of things to worry about, an international, a national and a personal level. We've got maybe health issues. We worry about the strikes. We worry about Ukraine, and particularly at the moment, the Middle East. Cost of living, uncertain job situations, elderly parents, struggling friends. The truth of the matter is there is an awful lot to be worried about. So just as we start, I would love you to take a few moments just on your own, listing all the different things that you worry about. Perhaps things that you're worried about right now, or perhaps things that you know you're prone to worry about often. So just a minute or two on your own. And I'm not going to ask anyone to share this with anyone else. So please do feel free to be honest with your bit of paper. All these worries, such real and significant problems and precious people that we're worried about. And then we come to our passage for today and we read, "Do not be anxious about anything." A tall order, right? We're going to dig down into just these few verses in Philippians 4, and we're going to see what God has to say about the very real problem of worry. And we're going to see what he has to say so that we can form our battle plan for the next time we're worrying in the middle of the night. Let's just read that together. You might want to read, look at the screen, or it's on the handout too. Actually, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the whole of Philippians 4, 4 to 9, and then I'll just repeat the key verses. So I'm going to start with verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So our key verse is just for this session. I'll just read again. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When I was a teenager, I earned a bit of extra money babysitting. I don't know if perhaps some of you here did as well. I'll be honest, I was never that keen to spend time with the children. I was really happy, honestly, when they were finally in bed. The problem was, though, the stalling, that extra story they wanted, or the drink that they desperately needed, or the thing they wanted to show me or tell me about. So awful to admit, I was only there for the money. Our Father God couldn't be more different. When we talk to him, when we want him close by, when we want him to listen, he delights to. he's not just there for the money, wishing he could go and watch TV. Even as a parent, I'm often distracted and stretched and keen to get bedtime over and done with. Our Heavenly Father is a far better parent than I am. He's never rushed. He's never had it. He's never got other things on his mind. He has got all the time in the world for you. And he wants you to lay your worries before him in prayer. In fact, he commands it. What an amazing command. I'm just going to go back. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Tell me about it, God says. Tell him. Do you know that he really does care? He cares that your friend has gone cold on you. He cares that you're struggling to conceive. He cares that you're laying awake at night wondering how on earth you're going to face that person at work. He cares that your bank balance is seriously low. He cares that you don't know how on earth you're going to get everything done. He cares about every single thing and every single person that you wrote down on your list just now. Our instinct as Christians should be to lay all these things before God because he cares. And that is an even bigger truth than the truth that there's a lot to worry about. It's wonderful, isn't it, that God wants to hear our worries. And we all know that it helps to talk, but does it do any good actually to bring our worries to him? I think we should maybe step back a moment and think, why? Why do we worry? After all, there are lots of things that we're concerned about or care about, but we're not actually worrying about. We might really care about the homeless in our town. We might even be doing something about it. We might be helping at a night shelter or something like that. But it doesn't necessarily mean we're worrying about the homeless. We might be concerned. We might care very much about a particular friend and them getting a particular job. But we're not necessarily worrying about that friend. We might care very much about her. But that's different, isn't it, from the sick feeling of worry. When we're worried and not just concerned or not just caring about something or someone, it's often because on the one hand, we are not in control and that is terrifying. But on the other hand, we very much wish we were. We feel like we ought to be in control. We feel like this should be in our hands. We feel like we should be able to sort it out. It's like a child in the passenger seat of a car with a toy steering wheel, but feeling like they're in charge of the direction the vehicle is going in. When we pray, we don't just have God listening to us. Wonderful though that is. We are talking to the one who can actually change things. We're talking to the one who is actually in control, the one who does have his hands on the real steering wheel of our lives. There is so much that is outside of our control in life, but there is nothing, there is not one atom that is outside his control. He'll never say, oh, I'm sorry, this one's out of my hands, or, oh, I wish there was something I could do. When we pray, we are laying our requests and worries before the God who cares and the God who is in the driving seat. When we pray, we are acknowledging that we are not in charge and no amount of worry will add a single moment to our lives, but that he is in control and he's the one who holds our lives in his hands and he's directing the entire course of history. So what should we do the next time we're lying awake in the middle of the night? Well, you're awake anyway, so you might as well turn on the lamp or head downstairs. And I recommend you writing out all the different things on your mind, just like we did a moment ago, making a list and then praying in turn about everything on the list. Tell your Heavenly Father, tell him why you're worried, what you're worried about,
ask him to handle those things that you simply cannot, because he's the one in charge and he's the one who cares. But there's something else from Philippians 4:6 that we need to add in to our battle plan. I don't know if you spotted it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You may have heard of the Dutch Christian Corrie ten Boom. If you have, you may well know of the true story when she and her sister Betsy arrived at a Nazi concentration camp, Ravensbrück, during the Second World War, when they were both in their 50s. Their crime had been to help Jews escape from the occupying German forces. It's estimated that along with their father and a whole network of people working underground, that Corrie and Betsy saved around 800 lives. But then the arrest came. After serving time in Holland, they were transferred to Ravensbrück. And when they were showed to their barracks, the smell of the place was nearly overwhelming. The straw on the pallets was rancid. Somewhere nearby, there was overflowing sewage. They climbed into the place designated for them to sleep. But just after lying down, Corrie shot back up again so quickly and hard that she banged her head on the pallet above. Fleas. The straw was crawling in fleas. Oh, how can we live here? Corrie wailed. Show us. Show us how, said Betsy. And it took Corrie a moment to realise that Betsy was praying. By God's grace, they'd managed to smuggle in a Bible despite all the different checks. And after checking that no guards were there or near, they turned to their Bible passage that they'd read that morning, 1 Thessalonians 5, and they came to verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, said Betsy. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about the barracks. They thanked God for the fact that they were together. They hadn't been together in their last prison. They thanked God that they'd been able to smuggle the Bible in. They thanked God that the overcrowding meant that they would be able to share the good news of Jesus from its pages with many more people. But then Betsy went a step too far, even for Corrie. Betsy thanked God for the fleas. Corrie just couldn't. I have to say, I'd be with Corrie. But as the weeks passed, the sisters were able to share the message of Jesus with hundreds of women. They ran nightly Bible studies. They ran services. They were used by God so greatly in those barracks. And they were just amazed. They were amazed that they were able to get away with it all. Why weren't the guards coming in? Why weren't they stopping them? And then one day, they discovered the reason. No guard would step into the barracks because of the fleas. Betsy was right to thank God for the fleas. Thanksgiving. Being thankful. Another chance to make a list. Perhaps maybe with one or two others this time. I'm going to give you 2 minutes and I shall time it. To get down as many things that we can be thankful for right now, today, as possible. And then we're going to see which pair or which three or whatever gets the most. A little competition. So 2 minutes, as many things. You don't have to go into detail. You know, conference day, this, that, the other. Ready, steady, go. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, have a quick count up. See how many things you've got on your list. Okay. Did anyone, any group get more than 10? 10? Yeah. Any advance on 10? 11? More than 12? Wow. More than 15? 15. Anyone managed to beat? Oh, go on. 17. Oh, the winner goes to this table in the middle. 17 things. Wow. So much to thank God for. So much to thank God for. One danger, though, is we can tend to think of being thankful to God as a completely separate part of prayer to the talking about our worries and helping, asking for help bit. Kind of like the prayer and petition is the main course and the thanksgiving is the dessert. Or if you're somewhere very posh, maybe the starter. Now, we do have dessert in our house on a Sunday. And I have to say, I don't think too hard about Sunday lunches enough to coordinate our main meal with our dessert. It has been known in February for us to be eating up Christmas pudding. And we would have Christmas pudding for dessert regardless of what I'd planned for the main course, you know, so it could be spaghetti bolognese and Christmas pudding or curry and whatever. Two separate items on the menu. And we can do that with prayer too. So course one, prayer and petition. Unrelated course two, Thanksgiving. But unlike food, at least in the Newton household, prayer and petition go hand in hand. They can all be on one plate. So rather than thanking God for our homes and then praying about our sister who's waiting on serious test results, we can find things to thank God for in the very situation that we're worried about and therefore praying about. We might pray, Lord, I'm so worried about Beth. You know, I'm scared for her. You know, she's so poorly and her children need her and I don't know what to do to help. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you that the doctors are investigating. I thank you that I live close enough to be able to pick up the children from school. I thank you that she's in your hands and that although we don't know the outcome of all this, you do. Lord, please help her. Thank you for hearing my prayer. When we pray to our Heavenly Father and tell him everything that's on our minds and when we ask for help, we can remind ourselves that he hears our prayers and we can thank him for that fact straight away. We can remind ourselves that he is at work in this situation and we can thank him straight away. We can remind ourselves and thank him straight away that he'll do the right thing and answer our prayers in the best possible way. So, battle plan. We've made a list of our problems. We remind ourselves that God cares and he is in control. And so we pray about everything on that list. And we make a list of things we can thank God for in that very situation. And we can pray those prayers of thanks too. There's a wonderful promise following the loving, inviting command to lay all our worries out before the Father with prayer and petition. Here's the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're going to have a think about that promise in a minute, but we're going to break now because it's something very important that we need to mark.
Yes, thank you very much.
So, we've got our battle plan. It's the list of problems. It's the reminding ourselves that God cares and can do something about our situation and our list of things to be thankful for in that situation. And then we read in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace. What a wonderful thing, especially as we have just been marking and remembering those who gave their lives so that we could have peace. Peace. I wonder what you think of when you have peace in your mind. Perhaps it is the end of war. Perhaps it is the sunset, windswept beaches. Maybe it's a conference day when there is no washing up to do and no admin or shopping or whatever. But the picture of peace here in Philippians 4 is the picture of peace in the middle of the storms of life. Around us, the winds rage and the lightning crashes and all those things that we fear and worry over and steal away our sleep, oh, crashing in. And yet, in the midst of the storm, we can be secure. Do you remember how God saved Noah and his family? He didn't beam them up to the moon while the water covered the whole earth. No, but they were safe in the ark that God provided, even as the rain pounded and the waves rocked them back and forth. A little dinghy would have had no chance, but they were safe in the ark God designed for that very purpose. We have an ark too. An ark that surrounds us and protects us and guards us. Our ark's name is Jesus. Without him, we would be like a little dinghy, capsized in 50-foot waves. In Jesus, we are safe. Friends, this ark, Jesus, he's not going to let the water in. It's not going to be like the Titanic sunk. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ who came and took on sin and death and the devil, the very enemies that at root cause all our worries. He went into battle and he died that death may die, that sin would be defeated, that the devil would be crushed beneath his feet. And then he rose victorious, gloriously from the grave, the exalted Son of God, never to die again, always to reign. The Lord Jesus, who the Father raised to the highest place, gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will one day bow. Everyone who has ever lived and will ever live, every spiritual being in the universe, all bowing before this victorious, conquering King. He's the one who's our fortress. He surrounds us. He's our ark. And when we focus on this Jesus, more and more we begin to feel the peace of God in our hearts. We can know God's peace because our hearts and minds are guarded in Jesus, even if there's not a sunset in sight and it's all rain clouds and wind and storm. When I was preparing this talk, I did the very things I was suggesting with the battle plan. It was the early hours. I was all very genuine. I just couldn't sleep. I was worrying. So, knowing I was preparing this talk, I thought, well, I've got to follow my own advice, haven't I? So I did get up, I made a cup of tea, and I wrote an actual list of worries. And then I wrote an actual list of things to be thankful for in that situation. And I spent time praying it all through, and hey presto! I still felt pretty worked up. The promise of peace is not a magic spell. This isn't Harry Potter. We aren't guaranteed to feel instantly better when we pray about our worries. But I have found over time that if our first response more and more becomes turning to God in prayer, if we keep praying and if we keep being thankful, if we keep thinking about how we are protected by our wonderful Saviour, our feelings will increasingly come into line with what is true. And we'll start feeling more peaceful. It's definitely work in progress. Hence, it's definitely a battle, hence a battle plan and not a magic spell. But just like Paul, who says later in the book of Philippians that he learned to be content, we too can learn to be less anxious and more prayerful and more trusting and more thankful. So, the next time the worries are swirling around and it's 3 a.m, you have a battle plan and it's called Operation Philippians 4:6-7. It's a bit of paper and it's you and it's the God of the universe who wants you to know his peace. Just before I finish this session, what's a conference without a book recommendation? I love reading. As you probably guessed, because that's my job, but I've always loved reading for pleasure. And I have read many books in my time, but possibly the most influential book I've ever read is The Hiding Place. The story of Corrie ten Boom, who I mentioned earlier. There are so many things. So I read this verse as a teenager, and there are so many things that have stuck with me through the years in a way that not many other books have done. Incidents from her life and Betsy. And then I reread it a couple of years ago, and it was just as helpful, just as impactful as when I was younger. It's on the bookstore. If you haven't read it, I hate to say this because I want to sell all the books, but ignore all the other books. This is just so helpful, so faith building. And you think, if God can work in a concentration camp, he can work anywhere. So I really would recommend this one. It's on the bookstore for only £5.50. Please do come and have a look. All the books have in the inside cover the price. I will hang around there, but if I'm not there, there's a little pot of money, so feel very free just to help yourself and pop the money in, or if you haven't got money, I think it's CPEG. I'd love to see you there. And I'll mention one or two other book recommendations through the day. The only other one I want to mention now, at Shepherd Drive, we gave this out a while ago. It's called Listen Up. It's a practical guide to listening to sermons. We had quite a few left over, so these are free. So if you would like to pick up a copy, please do just grab one of these. Great. I think, coffee time? I'll hand back over to Lydia.
Thank you so much. Yes, so we're going to have coffee time, coffee or tea, or refreshments, and we'll be back together again at 11:50, and we've also got the bookstore, as you know. Thank you.